There was musical excitement in the 70s, particularly. And when we started the club, there was a huge high, carried on into the 80s. The 90s, that seemed to have gone. That enthusiasm from performers and what are you doing nowadays? Ah, not much. What about you? There was a lot of that. I don't know why. I think, as I said earlier, when bands started to break up, groups, nothing was taking the place of that. So something was lost. Whether folk goes in waves of revival and recessions, and or whether it plods along on a plateau. Perhaps it was just a plateau. Plateaus aren't exciting, are they? I can't remember when the Governor Hindmarsh came into being, but that, of course, became a main venue. But not in the sense of a club, I think, in the sense of being a concert. The old folk club, really, is there still, thank goodness, in the South Coast format. And that, I know, is successful. For the people of that area, I mean, they love it. It's great.
Been going quite a long time now, the South Coast Folk Clubs. We stayed at the Workerman's Club, used that as our base for quite a number of years, about 6 years, I think. And then we found, for various reasons, we needed a new home again. And we moved on to the Port Nalunga RSL. That would have been in the early 90s. We were very much involved in the local scene down there, local community there. We used to go and play in shopping centres to raise awareness of where the folk club was and what people were doing and what we were about, and involved in a lot of community activities like Christmas parades and. I remember one fantastic Australia Day parade where there was about 50 folk club, from people from South Coast Folk Club, marching en masse down Beach Road from the top of the road down to the Esplanade, carrying banner and all wearing a South Coast Folk Club T-shirts. And there was a big evening, it was a big stage set up in the Rotary Park at the end of Beach Road. And we'd been given a budget to put on a concert as part of the Australia Day celebrations, and it was the main event of the evening. This concert with all the people that from the South Coast Folk Club that had developed enough to become performers in their own right, and even a couple of people who could only sing one song but do it really well. It just made people get better at what they did and developed their talents. And there was about, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 people there that night, and culminating in a big fireworks display. And you know, it was tremendous. It really put South Coast Folk Club on the map in the area and gave it some prestige.
Well, the Singing Gallery is the name of the building that I purchased sometime in the early 90s. It's an old church, and it's in the Southern Vales, which is part of the wine district. And what has happened is that I've converted an old church into a music centre, and I needed a name. I thought, well, Singing Gallery seems a good idea for a name of a music centre. So the idea was to have a centre where I could do concerts to students, educational concerts, have bus groups coming, Saturday night concerts, a folk club, workshops on music, singing lessons, whatever, guitar lessons. So it was trying to create a, for want of a better word, a community music centre, but almost a private one. So it was like this real dilemma. Do you want to make money, or do you want to do something for the world or the community? So it was a bit of both. But in the final analysis, everything that I do comes down to doing what I think is the best thing to do.
It was always a monthly event at the Hills Folk Club, and that was almost not enough. And subsequently, I guess the other thing that was going on in the folk scene in Adelaide was there was a significant gap with the demise of Traitor's Gate, the movement towards more festival kind of approaches for more professional, inverted commas, players. There was a gap for people like me, for example, who were just starting, or for people who perhaps didn't want to do or couldn't do the festival scene but wanted a more performance-orientated opportunity. So one of the things we did start in 1991 was the Hills Folk Club Blackboard Concert, and that was a walk-up, real true blackboard concert. Put, you know, 15-minute slots, put your name on the board, and anyone and everyone could play. So we would have some beginners, but generally speaking, we would have a number of people who were excellent performers in their own right, who had performed at festivals, at Traitor's Gate, etc., who were just looking for that opportunity to perform again.
1990s, I think that was a really exciting, positive time for the folk movement in South Australia, because the focus of it was festivals is probably where we had the most energy and input into it. And I think that came about because for the first time we actually got some government funding in the, I think it was the early 90s, and we also had more of an office space, we, the Folk Federation, that is, having moved to the Governor Hindmarsh Hotel. So I think that gave us a lot more credibility as an organisation, and also folk music itself gained some credibility through that. And through that, suddenly we had the resources to be able to develop some festivals. And so for me, the 90s was a lot of energy.
The first door opener was for the National Folk Festival in 1991, and we got, I can't remember if it was $10,000 or $15,000, but it was towards staging of the National Folk Festival. And that was largely through lobbying Anne Levy, who was the Minister of the Arts, who was Labor government at that time. Bannon was Arts Minister, and you could not get through to him. He was the Premier. But Anne Levy was very sympathetic, and I think she virtually went independent. I mean, it was very hard to get through the arts department at that time, even though there were some pro-Labour people. But we set the ball rolling with the National Folk Festival. By the time Goolwa had built up, it doubled every 2 years at that time, so it was getting bigger and bigger.
There was a group of people that decided that a medieval fair would be a good thing to have. Again, the inspirational Mr. Moole. It's amazing. All the concepts have come from him, really, over the years. It's just amazing. And he'd always wanted to do this. And when I thought back to the people that were all volunteers, we all just did it, all the performers were volunteers too. When I thought back to this group, huge, they're all people from Traitor's Gate and the folk club era, with the exception of one person, perhaps from the History Trust and Birdwood Mill, you know, the administrators kind of thing. They were all folkies. So, see, folk music isn't just folk music, is it? It's kind of making history. And we were using history and folklore to have this medieval fair with archery, mummers' plays, puppetry, somebody was making corn dollies. It's all folk, isn't it? And there were jesters and wandering minstrels, and hugely successful. We were all worn out. We couldn't do it again, so we passed it to the Folk Federation. And they did it for several years until it finished.
We all did it for nothing. That's what it was. But because it was in association with the History Trust of South Australia, they had half the takings on the door. So they got 15 grand and we got 15 grand. But we decided not to continue it on the following year, because for the amount of effort that we'd had to put into it to get it up and running, we went to British Airways, we got a ticket, so we ran a raffle, which we, you know, the ticket was for two to go to Britain and all that sort of stuff. And they were very good, and we did a lot of promotional work. But I wore out 49 friends. That was the truth of it. And I couldn't put them through it the second year, so I said to Keith Preston, we don't feel that there's enough money being made off the weekend, even though it was $15,000, it sounds a lot of money, for the amount of effort that went in. Well, of course, the Folk Federation continued on with it.
It was set up very much as an English-based day celebrating traditional English customs and traditions. They did it once and they said never again. You know, it was just too much work. That nearly killed them, I believe. And we thought, well, it was it's a real pity to drop that because it was very successful. And so we thought, well, Folk Federation could pick that up. Then it's got a state folk festival, it's got the medieval festival, and we also were running monthly concerts because we saw that as a vacuum that was left by Traders Gate. So the total of that then became, I won't say a package, you're able to say, well, look how many people we are coming to folk events as audiences, how many performers are taking part, how many. It was just purely a numbers kind of thing within the arts that gave us this too big to be ignored anymore.
When I think about the 90s, my involvement was pretty much as a volunteer. I certainly wasn't one of the people that got on stage to be the performer. I was very much the behind-the-scenes person. So I suppose I saw festivals from a slightly different perspective. And one of the things I noticed that, in fact, I did most of my work from home because I had my normal day job. So, in fact, the festival organisation used to happen for me before the event once I got home from my day job. And in the early 90s, I was doing it from my kitchen table. And then as the festivals and the events got bigger, then I moved to one room of the house. And towards the end, in the late 90s, I was taking over two rooms of my house because it was taking up a lot of space to do these things. So I suppose those events were really quite personal for me because I was doing it from the heart, I suppose. And I think that probably people have underestimated how much personal time and effort that people put in, volunteers put in to make big events, because a general member of the general public goes to an event, folk festival, whatever, pays their money at the gate and goes in and has a good time and doesn't really appreciate that there is a whole life or lifestyle for some of us who are organisers to and how much time and effort we put in to make that happen. The hardest thing of doing festivals like that is just being out in all sorts of weather. That was the biggest challenge of running big outdoor events. So there was a lot of positive things about doing festivals like that, but it was a lot of hard work because you really had to fight the elements as well. And sometimes that got the better of us.
Peter Hyde, a well-known local instrument maker, was very keen to run something, and he actually ran something up at Macclesfield for a couple of years, which was a really good event and very successful in terms of getting people, because it was the old idea which had built the early folk festival in South Australia of people actually sleeping overnight somewhere and therefore not really sleeping, playing till late and then getting up early, and probably, you know, Dave Moss waking us all up with his trumpet at 6 o'clock in the morning was, you know, a memorable part of that event, and everyone going, shut up! But that led also to some other events. We had things like, and more recently, the English Ales came out of that, because there was also, given the hills, I mean, it's the Adelaide Hills, cool climate, lots of people from England like the cooler climate but also love their folk music. And there was, so we developed, there was an English Ale approach, and we've also had there was the Stupidest Folk Song competition, which is an annual event which is run by Trevor Kerno up in the hills to raise money for Trees for Life, which is a fantastic thing that he's been doing for years. We've had because the club was so strong and had such good performers, we actually ran some of our own concerts, and we actually ran special concerts as well. And we had acts like Kilmarnock and Colcannon, regulars who would come up and play at the Cravers. We'd set up a special concert outside the normal time. So we actually for quite a while, we were actually running a session on the third Sunday of the month, a blackboard concert on the first Sunday of the month, and quite often on the fourth or fifth Sunday, we might have a concert as well. And it was really booming. There was a lot of strong interest. But then, of course, people move on.
At the heyday of when the Irish pub really started to take off in the late 90s, 96, 97, just for a couple of years, there was Irish bands playing in all sorts of pubs that had suddenly become Irish pubs, and some say plastic paddy pubs, but It was lots of fun, you know, and I would say that at least 50% of those bands that were playing in those pubs got their start at the South Coast Folk Club. And one that comes to mind is the band Jadask, which was founded by Joe Cairns and Sandra Fletcher. Joe and Sandra actually met at the South Coast Folk Club. I remember when Sandra first came to the folk club, it was as much as you could do to get her to open her mouth and sing a song. When Joe came along, maybe we could get him to sing one or two songs. They got together with some other people, and it was pretty rough and ready, like all of us are when we first start. But they developed into a band, and the band is still going now.
I think the Hills has had a great role in South Australia because it has been a quality club. There's been a lot of really great performers who've come to the club from all over Adelaide and further afield, and it's really encouraged people to grow. And I owe my growth as a performer to the Hills Folk Club and to the people who are willing to come and listen to me struggle early on with my nerves and who are willing to let me try songs that I'd written. You know, as a songwriter, you do need to test them against an audience, and as you do, you get better. So, I think the club, the people of Adelaide who enjoy traditional music and also, folk music in general, the Hills Folk Club's brought a lot of benefits to them and a lot of benefits to the people who want to perform and enjoy singing together. And there's nothing better than the many sessions we've had where 30, 40, 50 voices have been singing a song together.